Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We are scheduled to be joined by Lewis Riddick from ESPN, also does a great job as part of their Monday Night Football crew as well, here in the next few minutes. So looking forward to that conversation with him. Joe, I do want to pass something along. Obviously, Arthur Smith and his media availability taking place on Thursdays going on right now, and he's been asked about the head coaching interest that he's received and the quote that he's come out with. This is from Jim Wyatt, who was on with us earlier in the show. Quote, "You have to focus on the job at hand and not what's down the road. It's not right to cheat the job you're in and what you're doing. It's focused on the Titans and doing a good job now. If things work out later, then they work out." So you knew that was going to come up. Not surprising, that response from Arthur Smith.
Yeah, I'm very disappointed. I thought Art was going to be like, yeah, look, guys, I'm mostly focused on which job I'm taking. I am looking at a little bit of Ravens film in my downtime, but largely I'm studying Detroit Lions offensive players to see, how that will work out next year.
Right. Didn't quite get that out of Arthur Smith in this conversation. Hey, let's go ahead and look ahead to this game coming up for the Titans on Sunday against the Ravens. To help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Lewis Riddick. Does a great job at ESPN, also part of the Monday Night Football crew as well. Lewis, what's going on, man? Thanks for taking time to join us.
I'm good. How are you guys doing this morning?
We are doing very well. Appreciate you asking.
Great.
And Lewis, obviously, the Titans fans very much looking forward to this game coming up against the Ravens on Sunday. And the Ravens, winners of five in a row. It looks like Lamar Jackson and this offense have started to figure it out again in the last few weeks. What do you see out of the Ravens when you watch them as of late? And what do you think of Lamar Jackson and this offense and the way they're clicking heading into this game?
Yeah, man, when you run for 400 yards in a game, when you rush for 400 yards in a game, I don't care who you're playing against. I don't care what time of year it is. I don't care what's at stake in the football game. That makes you stand up and take notice. And I am sure that has gotten Mike Vrabel's attention as far as Baltimore and how they look offensively, and in particular how the run game looks, and then even more specifically how J.K. Dobbins and Lamar are looking right now. So you better buckle up your chin strap, make sure that you have your big boy pads on, and be ready to rock and roll, because that's what this team is. I mean, that's what John Harbaugh wanted, that's what Greg Roman wanted, and that's what they have created. And you know that that's what you're going to have to deal with this team. The power running game, the perimeter off-tackle power running game is something that they're going to have a plan for, because if you let it get rolling, it can be 3 hours of pure hell. I mean, and Tennessee knows this because they know they can do it to people too, just in a different form, with Derrick Henry. So that's what makes this game so interesting and so intriguing. Obviously, Tennessee has a feather in its cap as far as beating them the last two times that they have played and beating them in different ways. So they're in Baltimore's head, and the mental warfare part of playoff football is one of the most fascinating for me. So if I'm Tennessee, I'm feeling good about where we're sitting and kind of how we played this team in the past. But looking how Baltimore has won five out of the last seven games and how they finished up the year and how they're trending in the right direction, I think we all know that Sunday at 1 o'clock Eastern, 12 o'clock Central, this is going to be an absolute fist fight, and we wouldn't want it any other way, would we?
Not at all. And Lewis, the Ravens, of course, the schedule has not been the strongest down the stretch, but obviously they seem to have much more confidence. Like you said, they are just, 400 yards in an NFL game. That's like a Power Five team against an FCS team, College football. Is this the Ravens executing better, or Greg Roman making some adjustments recently that have worked?
No, I think they're executing better, because this is a football team whose season, just like many teams, I mean, and Tennessee knows this too. It's a team that's had their season disrupted, stop and start, lots of virtual learning, virtual practice, virtual meetings. Their quarterback was sick for a while, and Lamar was sick for a little bit. They've had some changes on the offensive line where they've lost some really good people, and then they've had to put things together. Now they've been able to play a little bit together now, and they're starting to click right now. And obviously context is important. Yeah, I mean, if you run the football for 400 yards against Cincinnati, of course, that's people are going to go, so what? It's Cincinnati. All right, well, we saw Cincinnati as a Monday night crew have Pittsburgh come in there, and they absolutely just beat Pittsburgh up. So, I mean, the NFL is not – it is not like college football. The margin between winning and losing is very, very thin, as you guys know, and these guys are all professionals. So when you beat somebody, you beat them. You've earned it. So I'm not going to take anything away from how Baltimore has trended in the right direction. Just like, you know, you wouldn't want that, or anybody wouldn't want that done to, you know, to the Titans, because these guys are all legit playoff teams. And it really doesn't matter really what's happened, you know, in the regular season heading into this game anyway. This is a heated rivalry with some real good recent history that's very chippy and very petty. And I love that, because that adds an element of unknown and physicality to a game, and that's exactly what you want in a wild card matchup.
Lewis Riddick from ESPN on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Lewis, obviously, Derrick Henry, a huge talking point around here, just finished with more than 2,000 yards, became the eighth running back in league history to do so. And it's got people around here just kind of forecasting and thinking about what his long-term future could be. Could he be a Hall of Famer? Could he be eventually in the conversation of some of the greatest running backs of all time? When you watch Derrick Henry, what do you see, and what do you think his long-term future could be in terms of those conversations?
Yeah, I mean, look, Derek's what? He's in his fifth year now. He's a guy who obviously he's a physical marvel, an absolute freak, plays in the perfect type of system. When you watch him, as big as he is and his style, he's a guy who doesn't take, like, ridiculous shots. He's not the kind of guy who is just getting, you know, his block knocked off over and over and over again, or taking really vicious hits around his knees and ankles to where, you know, his lower body's getting mangled up. He's a guy who really is, you know, at 6'4", 250 pounds, he's a guy who does really excel running on the edges and running off tackle, and a guy who breaks a lot of plus 10, plus 15, plus 20-yard runs, and really preserves himself despite having so much, you know, so many touches. So I think his longevity, you know, if everything still, you know, goes good and he doesn't, you know, have any, you know, unfortunate, you know, take any unfortunate hits to his lower body, I think his longevity is something you could feel, you know, optimistic about. And the production that he's having right now, despite the fact that teams know what they're going to do. I mean, there are many times where by personnel grouping and by formation, you know what they're doing. You know where they're coming. Arthur Smith is telling you this is what we're doing. And they still can't stop it. Yeah, I think right now there's no telling what kind of numbers he could rack up on it from a career perspective here when it's all said and done. And you have to give him his props. You just do. He's from a pure production standpoint, I don't know how you can argue with him being someone who has to be in consideration for down the road, you know, maybe a Hall of Fame candidacy and in the discussion for being one of the most productive, prolific backs that this game has ever seen. You just can't argue against it. Now, there's some people who say, you know, as big as he is, as strong as he is, as fast as he is, he's not the explosive, this punishing run. Well, you don't really necessarily want him to be, because that would mean he's taking a bunch of hits, and next thing you know, his career longevity is being jeopardized or put into question because he is someone who is taking all those hits. With the way he runs and his style right now, it's doing just great for him and for the Tennessee Titans. And, look, he's fun to watch. He is a treat. We are lucky to be able to watch somebody like him. Because I don't think I've ever, and people have asked me this question, have you ever played against somebody like this? And I'm thinking, no. Because I wasn't around when Chuck Muncy was playing. And that's the only guy who I can think of. Or maybe Rod Bernstein when he moved from H-back to running back when he played in Denver in the early 90s and I played against him. That's the only people I can think of that were like that.
Interesting. And that's a great point about not taking the punishment. Totally different style, but I think of Barry Sanders, too, as a guy who – you know, a lot of volume, but managed to miss hits, and somehow this is a power sure. back who also has a knack for that. So the other member of that backfield who's had a great year and a great couple of years, Lewis, Ryan Tannehill, a guy who I think a lot of people still look at him like, hey, it's great to have Derrick Henry with you, and you get some nice big windows out of play action, and good for you. But people who watch him around here regularly know he's more than that. How do you think he fits in among the best quarterbacks in the NFL, and has your opinion of him changed, you know, in the last couple of years compared with what it was when he was with the Dolphins.
Yeah. I mean, listen, this is one of my favorite players in the league, period. Okay? And I am someone who talks a lot about the importance of the marriage between scheme, coaching style, and player, you know, skill set. And they hit a home run with Ryan as far as his play, his skill set, Arthur's coaching style, and then the scheme in which they use. That's what the league is about. That's what it's all about. It's about finding these kind of marriages. And look, Ryan's career was on the path to nowhere for a number of different reasons down in Miami. One, because he couldn't stay healthy. Two, because the scheme and the people that were surrounding him were just, it was just awful. It was bad. The best thing he did was get out of there. And the best thing he did was hook up with this team at that particular moment. And then when they made the switch last year out in Denver, and they pull and Marcus is out and he's in, everything has taken off. And you know what? The people who say, well, yeah, it's great having Derrick Henry, and that's the only reason why you're excelling, well, they don't really know a whole lot about football then, and they don't really evaluate him in the proper context, because when you watch him play, yeah, there's some open-window throws. Sure there are. There's open-window throws for Tom Brady, too. There's been a lot of open-window throws for Drew Brees. There was a lot of open-window throws for Peyton Manning and John Elway and everybody else. I mean, it kind of goes like that. But if you look at some of the advanced statistics on Ryan Tannehill and just watch him play after play, this guy can throw the football with pinpoint accuracy into some of the tightest windows, and the advanced metrics bear that out when you look at it. So he is deserving in the contract extension that he got. He is a guy that will absolutely rip you off a play action or as a dropback passer. And he can push the ball down the field as well as anyone. And he showed it just this past week against the Texans. That throw to A.J. Brown, you can't throw that ball any better. There's a quarterback in the NFL who can throw that any better, and it was perfect. And Arthur had the confidence to throw that, to call that play, because of the fact that it's Ryan Tannehill and A.J. Brown, and he's seen him do it over and over and over again. That had nothing to do with Derrick Henry. That had to do with understanding what coverage they were probably going to get in that two-high cover four look. They knew that the safety would bite on the dig route. They knew that AJ would be one-on-one on the corner on the outside, and they had the confidence in Ryan that he was going to put it up there, put enough air under it so AJ could run underneath it, and he dropped it right in there as if he walked up there and handed it to him. You aren't going to find a bigger fan of Ryan Tannehill than me. And you're not going to find a bigger fan of Arthur Smith than me, because I've known Arthur for almost 20 years. That is the perfect, that's one of the best signings that you will see as far as Ryan Tannehill being with the Tennessee Titans and hooking up with Arthur Smith. And everybody in Nashville ought to be thanking their lucky stars that they got him and just celebrate him, because the dude right now is on a tremendous trajectory upwards. And Arthur's going to be a head coach here soon, if not in the next couple of weeks. And it's too bad, because, I mean, that's just the way it goes. But that marriage between him and Ryan is perfect. It's absolutely perfect, and I can't wait to see them. We got to see them week one out in Denver. I can't wait to see them on Sunday. It's perfect.
Lewis Riddick from ESPN on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Lewis, last thing for you here. You mentioned Arthur Smith, and obviously getting a lot of attention based on what he's done, based on the offense that the Titans have had all year long. What kind of a head coach do you think Arthur Smith could forecast to be in this league?
Yeah, Arthur's on the cutting edge, man. He is always looking forward. Always going to be on the cutting edge as far as scheme, strategies, tactics, putting players in best position to succeed. I know that's an overused term, but as someone who has known him for a very, very long time, he wholeheartedly believes in that. He wholeheartedly believes in, you know, being interested in the total overall development of players and listening. He's a very good listener. He's a very good listener, not just when it comes to talking to players about football, but just talking to players about life. I think he's someone who his competency and his credibility and the way he has impacted players, you know, in a positive way is something that'll resonate with other players. So that's what players want. Players want to be made better. They want you to make them better, because they know that does nothing but benefit them individually and benefits teams. You can't miss with Arthur Smith. You can't miss. And I expect to see him named somewhere here in the very short future, or whenever Tennessee is done being playing, and I'm sure in Nashville they're hoping that's in Tampa. So he's deserving of all the recognition he's getting.
Lewis Riddick from ESPN has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex. Lewis, really great stuff, man. We appreciate you taking time out of your day to join us, and enjoy the game on Sunday.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, guys.
Absolutely. Lewis Riddick, one of the best in the business. I tell you what, really good stuff there from Lewis Riddick. We've got a lot to react to. We'll do that on the other side. Get your reaction as well on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. And we'll do that when we come back. But first, I've got a word from FanDuel. And listen up, football fans, I've got the perfect way to make the playoffs even more exciting this weekend. It's called the Same Game Parlay Bet, and they're only available on FanDuel Sportsbook. A Same Game Parlay lets you combine multiple bets from a single game for an even bigger win during the wild card round coming up this weekend. You can combine the money line, the over-under, player props, all in one parlay. And best of all, FanDuel is letting you place a Same Game Parlay Bet risk-free. All FanDuel customers, you can get up to $10 back on your bet if you don't win. The playoffs are the perfect time to give it a shot. It's just one of the many ways to win on FanDuel. They got a whole range of betting options, player props, future, whatever bet you're looking for, FanDuel has it. And if you haven't already, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up to get started today. Use my promo code ROB, that's R-O-B, at sign up. That's promo code ROB at sign up. And if you're already a current customer, then you're all set. Just go check out the Same Game Parlays, only available on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. A max refund of $10. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. And for problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789.
Because of the fact that it's Ryan Tannehill and A.J. Brown, and he's seen him do it over and over and over again, that had nothing to do with Derrick Henry. That had to do with understanding what coverage they were probably going to get, and that too high cover four look. They knew that the safety would bite on the dig route. They knew that AJ would be one-on-one on the corner on the outside, and they had to have the confidence in Ryan that he was going to put it up there, put enough air under it so AJ could run underneath it, and he dropped it right in there as if he walked up there and handed it to him. You aren't going to find a bigger fan of Ryan Tannehill than me. And you're not going to find a bigger fan of Arthur Smith than me, because I've known Arthur for almost 20 years. That is the perfect, that's one of the best signings that you will see as far as Ryan Tannehill being with the Tennessee Titans and hooking up with Arthur Smith. And everybody in Nashville ought to be thanking their lucky stars that they got him and just celebrate him, because the dude right now is on a tremendous trajectory upwards. And Arthur's going to be a head coach here soon, if not in the next couple of weeks. And it's too bad, because I mean, that's just the way it goes. But that marriage between him and Ryan is perfect. It's absolutely perfect. And I can't wait to see him. We got to see him week one out in Denver. I can't wait to see them on Sunday. It's perfect.
That was Lewis Riddick from ESPN on here with us in the last segment. And I got to tell you, I mean, that was awesome. Just to hear him talk football, I could listen to that guy talk football all day long. Obviously, very complimentary of Arthur Smith. Very complimentary of Ryan Tannehill. And Joe basically said, if you watch Ryan Tannehill play football and you think that all he is a product of Derrick Henry and the play action passing game, then you don't know football very well. So some very strong words of support on Ryan Tannehill from Lewis Riddick there.
Yeah, bless Lewis Riddick for being awesome. He's always – we could have easily done an hour with him. I actually wanted to get to – I don't know if you saw his rant the other day on ESPN, but he had an impassioned rant about quarterbacks and how, you know, everyone is, like, basically judging them after a series now. And you know, I swear the next day the Dolphins announced that, like, they're – like, Tua is the starter. And I was like, oh, yeah, you heard Lewis Riddick.
Saw Lewis Riddick talk.
Got your crap together.
Yeah.
But what sucks for all of us is that I think there's a chance someone hires him as a GM, and I just really enjoyed Monday Night Football. I mean, he is the whole crew's fine. Like, Greasy's fine. Levy's fine. But Riddick is awesome. Yeah. Riddick makes that must-see football TV. And to me, as far as NFL, you know, analysts, I'm not sure I don't like him better than Romo. It's very close as far as enjoying listening to them and then getting that insight, that, you know, that X's and O's insight that someone – it's not easy for people to quickly deliver that, even people who know the X's and O's. Some people have tried. Jason Witten tried to be Romo. It's very hard to do that. You have to naturally be able to quickly dissect things, and Riddick is so awesome at that. But yeah, I hope, man, people who, especially people who have ripped Tannehill and think that, I hope you listen to that segment, because he's dead on, and he comes with the credibility of understanding this game better than most people on the planet.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty amazing. And to talk about Arthur Smith, obviously, Riddick mentioned his relationship there, and he's known him for the last 20 years. But some pretty strong words on the head coaching front when it comes to Arthur Smith. We asked him what type of a head coach that he expects Arthur Smith to be in this league. And number one, he expects him to find a job very soon. But number two, called him can't miss. I mean, that's pretty strong words when it comes to head coaching candidates in the NFL. I mean, there's a lot of different situations that you've got to go through, and depending on what franchise you end up with, we'll see what the situation is with your roster, all sorts of different factors. To throw out those words, can't miss, when it comes to Arthur Smith, that's about as ringing of an endorsement as you can get from Lewis Riddick.
Well, that I will take issue with Lewis Riddick on that one little portion of the segment, because let me tell you, if Arthur Smith goes to the Lions, can miss. Everyone can miss with the Detroit Lions. But look, I mean, Arthur Smith, he's 6-for-6. It doesn't happen, So that tells you enough. There's going to be a fight for him, I think, is what's going to happen here. And I don't know exactly who or where he'll end up. There's going to be a fight for him. Because he laid some of this out. It is not just the schematic brilliance of this season, which, again, now I go back to Bills Mafia the other day. Oh, yeah, you handed to Derrick Henry. Yeah, sure. Come on, man. Watch them play football. They do some brilliant stuff. And it's not just that. It's also he climbed the ranks as a quality control guy, position coach, is very, animated and very noticeable and visible on the practice field. I mean, he's got the whole – thing. So, I mean, he's going to be gone unless he decides, there's not a perfect opening for me, but boy, there's some really good ones out there. Could it be Arthur Smith and Lewis Riddick somewhere together?
Yeah. Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Brian in Portland texts in and says, that was it. Lewis Riddick will be the GM of the Lions, and he's going to hire Arthur Smith as the head coach. He was all high and mighty about Arthur Smith, and there he goes. He said multiple times, don't be shocked if he's a head coach by the end of the season. That would be something. Arthur Smith, Lewis Riddick teaming up. He was very complimentary of old Arthur Smith in that interview.
Like, I would almost give those guys, a decent chance to unlock that curse up there. Because that would be, that'd be a heck of a combo. But, boy, just don't go there. Go somewhere else, guys.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tyler texts in, sounds like Lewis is going to try and steal Arthur Smith and Tannehill when he becomes a GM here in the next couple of weeks. Tell him hands off. It is funny. Like, it seems like this conversation has been around Riddick for the last couple of years. Of, you always hear him maybe being involved in interviews with other teams, and obviously a brilliant football mind if you've ever watched him on ESPN. I mean, I could watch that guy talk about football all day long, like I said to begin the segment. What sort of a GM do you think he could be in this league?
Look, now this makes me think of, and it's not even fair to make this comparison, but I've got Lions on the mind. Matt Millen was really good as an analyst, especially back when the Lions hired him. He had been a great player in the league. And it was Matt Millen at the time the Lions hired him was one of the probably top two or three game analysts going. And obviously we know how that went. He was just an awful GM. Now the difference is that Lewis Riddick has been a scout for several years. Then he was director of pro personnel for Washington. He was scout director of pro personnel for the Eagles. So, I mean, most of his career post playing career has been in personnel and also putting together some good teams. So that's where it's not comparable. I just think of it because of the Lions. Like this is why, again, like Lewis, just don't go there, because then that'll come true. Like, they will somehow lionize you and mess everything up. But no, I think with that background of what he's done. And now, I know it's TV and it's different than picking players, but I'd feel pretty good about that guy picking players for my franchise based on his knowledge of the game.
When we come back, we'll get the latest on the Nashville Predators in training camp. Our man Adam Vingan from The Athletic drops by to join us. That's coming up next. Hey, make sure you're tuning in. College football season is down to its final game, the national championship, as Ohio State faces off against Alabama. ESPN The Game Nashville has you covered as the college football finale will be on 102.5 The Game and ESPN 94.9 with a kickoff at 7 o'clock coming up next Monday. So make sure we're tuning in for that. College football national championship coverage is brought to you by Boom Boss, Kraft Pizza and Tap House, Coleman Tractor, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Electronic Express. And a big one coming up between Alabama and Ohio State. We'll be right back with Adam Vingan here on Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And the Nashville Predators training camp is underway. They've been on the ice all week long. And to help us talk about that with a season kind of unbelievably getting started already next week, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our good buddy Adam Vingan from The Athletic. Adam, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Doing well, my man. Hope you are as well. And Adam, good. Obviously, yesterday, a move made by the Nashville Predators, officially signing Luke Cunnan to a 2-year contract, first reported by yourself. So good job, Adam, for getting the scoop on
Thank
that.
You.
What do you anticipate Cunnan's role being with this team as you look ahead to what their lineup could look like on opening night?
Well, I do believe that Luke Cunnan has top six potential. On his first day of practice yesterday, he was skating with Colton Sissons and Callie Yarncroke, which could be a pretty interesting third line if that is what John Hines decides to do. But it made sense to get it done, of course. Restricted free agents don't have a ton of leverage, especially those who do not have arbitration rights, like Luke Cunnan. So really, his only method of leverage was not to practice, but he was at the meetings. He was working off ice, but he just wasn't taking the ice. So as you said, Robbie, with the season right around the corner, the Predators open the season a week from today, if you can believe it. They had no time to waste in regards to getting as many players on the ice as possible, so it was good to get it done.
All right, so give me your hot takes fresh off the ice, Adam. What's jumping out at you? Who's jumping out at you? What are your strong impressions so far from in the early moments of what, like you just said, will be a very short camp?
Well, Rex Road, I don't mean to bow out of the hot takery, but it's been hard to have a strong opinion of this team so far, just because they have been missing so many important players. Matt Duchene has yet to practice. We know that Mikhail Granlund has been dealing with immigration, so he hasn't been on the ice yet. Eric Halla, whose wife gave birth to their first child last week, is undergoing his quarantine requirements. He hasn't been on the ice yet. Luke Cunnan just showed up. Matthias Ekholm started skating yesterday for the first time. If I'm not mistaken, I don't believe I've seen Rocco Grimaldi on the ice. So it's been hard to have an opinion just because they've been missing so many key players. Now, they're off today. They're scrimmaging tomorrow. And I think that will give us a better idea of what John Hines intends to do once you can see them in game situations, you know, special teams and things of that nature. I mean, I think the Johansson line, which has been together through camp, looks good. Of course, I am not one of those people that puts a ton of stock into practice. But without so many key players on the ice through most of or all of camp, it's really been hard for me to come up with some clear takeaways so far.
Adam Vingan from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam, look, we all know how important that top line is going to be with Johansson, Forsberg, and Arvidsson, and you know, obviously those guys getting back to the level that we've seen them compete at before. But also, I mean, Matt Duchene, he's going to have a bounce-back season. So whenever the opportunity comes for him to get back on the ice and Granlund to get here and get on the ice. Number one, how important is it that those two find chemistry right away? And number two, based on what you've seen out of those two together, how much confidence do you have that it can be a good line in the top six in today's NHL?
I do think it can be a good line. If you look at some of the fancy stats of their play together at 5-on-5 last season, the numbers were solid. Of course, we know they started off like gangbusters at the beginning of last season with Philip Forsberg. But for me, it's less about those two and more about whoever is going to be on the other wing. Because I think you can pencil in Granlund and Duchesne to be two-thirds of that second line. Is it Luke Kunin? Is it Elie Tolvanen? Is it someone else? I mean, I think it comes down to who ends up playing on that other side of Matthew Duchesne with Granlund on one wing. So that sort of goes back to what I was talking about. We haven't seen Matthew Duchesne and Mikael Granlund on the ice. So we haven't seen them skating with a third player. So we have no idea who that third player is going to be. So I do have confidence that Mikael Granlund and Matthew Duchesne can work it out, but I need to see who they're going to be playing with to complete that line to have a better idea.
On Tolvanen, Adam, do you think that, you know, maybe it was just a case of early on some media cough, looking in the mirror, overselling him a bit a couple of years ago at the time, do you have concern that he is a guy who can be an effective top six forward in this league at this point in his career?
Well, I can certainly remember a certain column written during the Winter Olympics where Elie Tolvanen was made out to be the second coming. But I digress.
I don't remember that at all.
I think we're all a little bit guilty of it, and the Predators are guilty of it too. I mean, I understand that their job in part is to pump up the tires of their prospects, but the Predators didn't necessarily pump the brakes either when it came to what they expected from Elie Tolvanen. And look, he had a great year in 2017-18. He was setting rookie records in the KHL. He played in the Olympics. He played in the World Junior Championship. We expected a lot from him. I really do see this season as sort of a make-or-break year for Elie Tolvanen. I'm not going to go as far as to say that if he doesn't play well this year that he is the dreaded B-word, which is, in this case, bust. I'm less concerned about his ability to score. Let me put it this way. Let's put it into basketball terms because we all like basketball. Elie Tolvanen to me is the equivalent of a spot up 3-point shooter in the NBA. To pull from my Duke fandom, Elie Tolvanen is a lot like early JJ Redick. He's not going to create his own shot in the NHL. He's going to need someone to feed him in the right spot for that elite one-timer that he has. I think he'll be great on the power play. I think if he were to play on a line with Granlund and Duchesne, for example, he would have to do a better job of finding the open spaces and creating offense for himself as opposed to relying on others to help him create it. I think he's gotten better at it. Those who coach him, specifically Carl Taylor of the Milwaukee Admirals, believe he's gotten better at it, and Carl thinks Elie is ready for prime time, but it's sort of a I believe it when I see it kind of situation. I think he does have potential in the right spot, but it has to be the exact right spot. It has to be, it has to be perhaps easier assignments at 5-on-5. It has to be ample power play time. Is Elie Tolvanen going to be a specialist in the NHL, a power play specialist? Maybe that's what he ends up being. But until we see it over the course of a full season, we're going to have to wait and see.
Adam, how realistic do you think a bounce back season is for Pekka Rinne, and how do you think the schedule sets up in order for him to accomplish that?
I do think it's realistic because Pekka is incredibly competitive. And I spoke to Pekka the other day for a story upcoming on The Athletic, and I talked to him about the decision that was made to start UC Soros in the postseason, because as we all know, you know, it was the first time in 12 years that a goaltender other than Pekka started a postseason game for the Predators, and he told me that he expected it. He was not surprised by the decision. He thought that UC Soros played really well before the pause, and he had earned the right to play in the postseason. But, you know, for as mild-mannered as Pekkarinne is, he is also incredibly competitive. And I don't expect him to see the net that easy. The schedule sets up for him to get a lot more playing time than maybe he would in an 82-game season. But I also think Pekka understands that this could be it. Like, I think everything that Pekka does this season is going to be viewed through the prism of, is this the last time that Pekkarinne is going to do blank? And I think he understands that as well. I mean, I don't think Pekka's thinking super far into the future, but he just became a dad. He's 38 years old. It's the final year of his contract. I think it's only natural for him to think that this might be his last season. So I don't expect him to go quietly.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, and frankly, I mean, I think a normal season, he's probably, you know, like a 30-game guy. It's like a total flip-flop from like 2 years ago, you see, but this is going to be a little bit more demanding on him. A little bit off topic here, Adam, but, like, what's up with Peter Laviolette being all of a sudden he's Shecky Green over here in Washington? The guy says nothing for years, and all of a sudden, I'm every day on Twitter, I'm seeing some hilarious Laviolette quote. What's up with this?
Yeah, I don't know who you referenced. I'm not that old, but it's jarring. I feel like, you know, it's like the Grinch's heart growing three sizes that day, or whatever the saying is, and how the Grinch stole Christmas. It's kind of unnerving, because he was devoid mostly of a sense of humor for 5 years here. And now he's in Washington and he's yucking it up. Maybe it's because he's on Zoom and he doesn't have to look at the media. You know, maybe it was just me. Maybe he's happy to be rid of me. Who knows? But it is weird. I've seen it a couple of times, and I'm just like, I don't know who this person is. I've never met this guy. So maybe it's the honeymoon phase in Washington. We'll see what happens if they struggle out of the game.
Adam Vingan from The Athletic.
How about Don Rickles?
Yeah, Don Rickles.
I understand. Don Rickles, I know. I don't know who the other
You guys know him, right?
Yes, we do. Yes. It is amazing how often Google per it. Show Check Joe Rexroad proves himself as an old man. It's awesome.
Yes, he is quite old.
I have good poll questions.
Yes, you have great poll questions. Adam Vingan from The Athletic has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexroad. Adam, appreciate you, brother. Thanks for taking time to join us.
All right, guys. Talk to you soon.
Absolutely. When we come back, we'll react to a little of what Adam had to say there. Also get to some breaking news on the Tennessee Volunteers. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Titans fans, the Titans have clinched the AFC South and are the 4 seed heading into the playoffs. And the place to check out the game this Sunday is Corner Pub, with locations in Bellevue, Brentwood, downtown, and now Cool Springs. Plus, they have great beer specials, including $1 off of Yazoo and Happen Harry's draft beers, plus Happen Harry's bucket specials. Don't miss Nashville's best NFL pregame show live from the new Corner Pub in Cool Springs this Sunday. Join ESPN 102.5 The Game from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. prior to the Titans taking on the Baltimore Ravens. The NFL pregame show features Jared Stillman and former Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders, and is brought to you by Wholesale Inc., powered by Rumble On, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Kubota Tractors, Middle Tennessee Kubota dealers. And remember, Corner Pub locations will be following social distancing and safety guidelines, so make sure you keep that in mind. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Thanks to Adam Vingan from The Athletic for joining us in the last segment. And Joe, as you look through training camp right now, it has been pretty interesting. Number one, it's a difficult circumstance anyway, with just basically a week and a half to get ready for a season. It all gets started next Thursday against Columbus, and then you're off and running from there on a pretty condensed, pretty tight schedule. But not having Duchesne on the ice, Ekholm's first day was yesterday, Cunning on the ice for the first time yesterday, still nothing out of Granlund and Halla and Grimaldi, as Adam pointed out in the last segment. Not the perfect situation for the Predators so far in training camp in terms of getting all of their available bodies on the ice.
Yeah, I mean, it's already majorly urgent to get things rolling. And then you're missing significant pieces. That's a big deal. And I don't know, Robbie, you tell me. I don't know how some of these other teams that they're going to play again and again and again are doing in terms of having everybody together. But those who do should have a little bit of an advantage early.
Yeah, and it's a mixed bag. I mean, it's going to be that way, I think, all season. We've learned that throughout this process. If you're just going to have to be willing to adjust. But I think particularly for guys like Cunningham, you know, like Duchesne even, coming in and really establishing yourself, trying to build something on that second line, as Adam pointed out, like having somebody else on that wing alongside him and Granlund, you need some time there. You need some work to be put in there, so you're going to need all the reps you can get. So a tough situation for the Predators to start training camp so far, getting underway next week, and then it's off and running from there in the NHL season. So we'll continue to talk about that coming up all throughout next week, and then back in the fold, hockey, thank God. We'll be back next week, and we'll be talking about actual Nashville Predators hockey games. So very much looking forward to that. Joe, there is kind of some breaking news going on right now regarding Tennessee and their football program, and this is coming from Mark Schlabaugh from ESPN. Obviously, we know about the investigation. We've talked about it here on the show and maybe what the long-term future looks like for Jeremy Pruitt. This coming from Schlabaugh, quote, Tennessee officials haven't extended the contracts of assistant football coaches and have paused hiring coaches for vacancies as the Volunteers continue to investigate whether recruiting violations occurred within the program, sources told ESPN on Thursday. Earlier this week, the university announced that it hired attorneys Mike Glazer and Kyle Skillman to assist in its in-house counsel and compliance officials in the internal investigation. The attorneys have interviewed current players this week about alleged improper benefits and other rules violations, sources told ESPN. So that was in itself, when you heard that, you know, outside counsel was coming in for Tennessee, not good news for Jeremy Pruitt. But now that apparently Tennessee officials have not extended any contract of assistant football coaches, and they basically put a pause on all hirings for coaches' vacancies, that does not, to me, seem like very good news for Jeremy Pruitt in this.
Was it last week or the week before that I said, what was my called shot from a few weeks ago?
Jeremy Pruitt will not be the head coach.
I'm sticking with it.
It is not looking good.
I'm not moving off it, and I think it – I mean, look, as Schlabach kind of lays out here, you know, you can fire him for cause or else it's a $12.8 million buyout. You can also, of course, negotiate something in between, which if it does end here for Pruitt, that's what I would expect. I wouldn't expect it'd be a pure fire for cause and no buyout. But let me look. He also – and give Trey Wallace the credit for initially breaking this story again, friend of the show. But Mark here has a couple – he cite sources saying that Eric Gray was part of the investigation. Of course, I tried to ask Jeremy Pruitt about Eric Gray. A couple other people did too. And, he wouldn't answer after the Texas A&M game. But also that Amarius Mims, who signed with Georgia, is part of the inquiry. So we got some specifics on players who are involved in this. And, again, this is not some paperwork phone call thing. This is, you know, impermissible benefits. So people are looking at this and saying, man, would this be happening at a place that was winning? And I think that's a fair question to ask, but the bottom line is it is happening.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Matt from Camden texts in and says, based on that information, I don't see Pruitt lasting much longer. I honestly don't know what they're waiting on to fire him. And I would agree with Matt from this standpoint. It just seems to be getting worse and worse for Jeremy Pruitt. This investigation does not look like it's going to end particularly well for him and his staff. Now, I will say, I mean, I don't know if they're going to be able to outright fire him with cause. We'll see what happens in the investigation. But I think something you brought up there, a settlement could end up being a part of this. Maybe that's something that you have to work through if you're Tennessee and Jeremy Pruitt on that front. But either way, I mean, regardless of what comes out of this, this is a horrible look for Tennessee and their football program. And I think the question you just asked is fair. Would this be going on if Tennessee was winning more? Obviously, we're not naive enough to know that, you know, recruiting violations and cheating scandals don't occur in other programs, particularly other programs in the SEC, because I think we've seen enough evidence at this point to know that that happens. But this is not good news for Jeremy Pruitt. And, you know, I've kind of been skeptical all offseason long so far of whether or not they were going to fire him. But the more information that comes out on this, the more I think it's it's leaning in the direction of him not being here next year.
But to quickly answer your question, Matt, why don't they fire him? Because if you just fire him right now, you pay him $12.8 million. You don't want to fire him and pay him $12.8 million. And this is the bind they're in. Meanwhile, players are transferring away. They're losing out on potential good candidates for the coaching staff. And it's this limbo situation while they wait for, you know, the information to be available in an investigation to reduce that number. I mean, it's a bad spot. It's a very bad spot.
It is truly amazing how this football program continues to do this on seemingly a day-by-day basis and just dominate the news cycle in the way that they do. It's incredible, Joe.
It really is. And, I mean, just so let's just flip it around real quick and imagine that, you know, they go through and, okay, everything's fine, and Jeremy, you're coming back. Like, how many players, they've already lost some key ones who have transferred. DeAndre Johnson goes to Miami. You know, Ty Chandler is in the portal. How many other players they lose out on? What did they lose out on in terms of assistant, in terms of recruiting momentum, all that stuff, you know, if they go back to him? I mean, like, I have a hard time imagining him being the coach at this point next year. But we don't know for sure that's not going to be the case. And then if you go the other way, you know, I will say this. There are some good free agents out there right now, probably more than a lot of times that you would see on January 7th.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be crazy to continue to monitor. We'll see what happens the rest of the day with Tennessee football. That's going to do it for us today. We'll be back tomorrow to look ahead at the Titans and the Ravens. This has been Robbie and Rexrode. Darren Donica Chase coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.